Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Good morning. A special welcome to those who have come our way as guests today. We're so thankful that you're here to worship with us, and we hope and pray that you have a real opportunity today to really be in fellowship with the Lord and to worship Him and to hear from His Word. We have a couple of things going on this last week with camp up at Tonda. Good to have the Janes back. We know they've been really involved up there and doing a good work. We're glad to have you guys back. You look a little tired. And there are about 20 of us over to Orange County Christian School this week. Is that rude to tell? Gene looks tired. You look great, Carol. Gene looks a little tired. 20 of us at Orange County Christian School doing. It was a wonderful week, and it was great to be over at the school to kind of build our relationship with the folks there and to meet so many of the kids. And we've invited them to our worship and do our Bible classes, and it was just a great week. And I want to especially thank our sister Connie Phillips for organizing that and doing such a great job. And what a wonderful team of folks. Some of those that helped were helping from home and doing things at home. We appreciate you so much, and it was a really enjoyable week. Well, this is a day that we've been anticipating for quite a while, welcoming John and Carissa into our congregation. The seed was kind of planted over a year ago when John and Carissa came down and John spoke at our youth jam. And let me just say, over the next 15 months, when you look back over that time, at least from my perspective, you can just see the fingerprints of God on everything as things were working out providentially and with the blessing of God. And we welcome you guys today. We're so thankful that you're here. We've been looking forward to that. We know God's going to use their gifts, and they'll be a blessing to us. I'm really looking forward to getting to work with John. We haven't spent a great deal of time together, but all the time I've spent with John, I just come to appreciate his enthusiasm, his devotion, and the serious view that he has of preaching the Word of God, of teaching the Word of God, and the love that I know that he has, that we all share, the love of longing to build up the kingdom. And I know that my life and my ministry are definitely going to be enriched by our partnership. And I look forward to that. You may have noticed there's just a slight difference in our ages between myself and John. I got to thinking about that this week. I was thinking, you know, I'm like old enough to be like his older brother, I was thinking. And then I thought about, well, not even his dad. It's like, I guess, granddad, you know. So, and I feel really bad for him that he's got to work with an old man. But I'm really excited about working with him. And I thank God for all those in this family who are younger, for the perspective that they bring, for the gifts that they have, for their creativity, for the different ideas and ways that they think, which are such a blessing to the church, because they're already obviously a part of the church now, but they are also the promise of the future of the kingdom, and especially here in this place. And we're grateful for all of you. And I'm reminded today, because of the events of this day, of the importance of generations within the body of Christ, and especially the need that we have in the biblical pattern that we follow of passing the faith along to the next generation. That's both sobering and exciting. Because when the church, if the church fails to do that, there goes the church. But the whole process of seeing a new generation come up and become men and women of faith and grow into leaders in the church, that whole process is so exciting because generation after generation, there's a sense in which the church continues to be renewed in its faith. And as one of those that are on the older side of the spectrum here in the church, I'm grateful for our younger people. You are so welcomed and invited to be using your gifts and abilities for the Lord and for the kingdom here, and to truly continue in that pathway of growing and maturing into being the leaders of the church. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Timothy's a young man. He's a bit timid, perhaps. And Paul says, look, Timothy, you be an example. You show the church what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ. And that's such good counsel for all who are young. Don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth. Rather, prove from your life, from your commitment to Jesus Christ, from your devotion to Him, that you are truly living for the Lord Jesus. And as a congregation, we ought to just long to see that faith pass down to a younger generation, to help them grow, to equip them to serve, to encourage them, to listen to them, to hear them, and to see them become a part of that chain of faith. I know what you're thinking now, because it's what I've been thinking about. It's the obvious place to go next. I'm thinking of Star Trek. You got your Captain Kirk, you got your First Officer Spock, and then you've got Dr. Leonard McCoy, a.k.a. Bones. You know, I'm a doctor, Jim, not a munitions expert or whatever. We know these guys. We know about Sulu and Chekhov, and they're there at the front panel, and Lieutenant Uhura, she is a genius when it comes to communications. Montgomery Scott Scotty down there in engineering, he can get you warp drive when everybody else is stuck, you know, with impulse engines. And, but then, of course, time goes by and we have the next generation. And we have Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and we have William T. Riker, also known as Number One. And we have Data and Worf and Geordi LaForge. I don't know all their names very well, so I have to read them. And Dr. Beverly Crusher and all those other folks. And they have really cool stuff in the next generation. They have like a hologram room. And they have really cool comms. They don't have to flip out those things, and they have a souped up enterprise, and they have all kinds of new things. And then if you get even older, like if you live to be as old as me, do you know what you see? You actually see it come around again. You see a reboot of the whole thing. Our friend John Cho sitting at the counter here now is Sulu, and the whole thing starts over. But here, stay with me just another, please give me 30 more seconds on this. The mission's the same. And if you're about ready to get up and walk out, please don't walk out when I say, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission is to seek out new life forms and civilizations. And I may leave out a little bit of it, but you know how it ends, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Now, thanks for not leaving. I'm done with this. But the point is that the mission remains the same. The generation changes, and they get new gadgets, and they look different, and they have different vocabulary, but the mission stays the same. And in the church, that same thing is true. We have a mission. It is unchanging. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the mission. It is unchanging. It is the unchanging mission. And we may have different hairstyles, we may like different kinds of music, we may have new technologies and all sorts of things. But the mission of the church from generation to generation is set by Jesus in the Scriptures and never changes. On a congregational level, it comes down to what Paul said to Timothy. And Tim read that just a few moments ago in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Hear these words again. Paul says to Timothy, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Do you hear four generations there? There are four generations in that verse. Paul says, what you've heard from me, and now it goes from Paul to Timothy, you entrust to faithful men, that's three, and they will pass on the faith to others, that's four. Now, it may be within a single generation this is going on, but that's the way the mission works. We spread the gospel, we make disciples, we baptize and teach, and that mission is passed down generationally within the people of God. We must always be carrying out our primary mission, which is to make disciples, and we must always be about the business of passing on the baton of faith to the next generation. That's what we're called to do in Scripture. And what's so wonderful about that in a church family is we're blessed here with older brothers and sisters. Many of you who've been devoted for years, so many of you that are older, you stepped out when you were young. And you said, Lord, you can count on me. And you gave your life over to Christ. Some of you, when you were very young, did this. And through the years, you've matured and you've grown. And you've grown in your faith and your understanding. And you've been faithful to the Lord. And you continue to serve Him. And you're committed and you're prayerful and filled with the Spirit. And then we're blessed with younger people, many who've already stepped up in faith and stepped out into ministry. Others who are perhaps beginning to hear the call of God and understanding what it is that the Lord really does desire of them and demand of them. And you are enthusiastic and you are filled with ideas that are worthy of consideration and action. And one of the blessings in a church, especially right now, right here, is that with those groups of people in our church, we are unified. We have love for one another. There are no schisms between us. Those that are older, those that are younger, those that are in between, wherever you see yourself. We care about one another. We're devoted to each other in brotherly love. And so between the generations, we want to know each other. We want to build relationships of trust between the generations, to be serving together across those generations, and to see that faith moving forward. How often you see this in the Bible? Deuteronomy 6. When Moses is addressing the children of Israel, he speaks to the parents. And see how this happens in a family. He says to the parents, look, when you're walking down the road, you take this moment to tell your children who you are and who God is. You teach your children. You remind them of the covenant. You live out this covenant. Take every teaching moment and tell them who their God is and what their God expects of them. That's what parents do. Parents, Christian parents, are to pass the faith to the next generation, to their children. And we encourage, obviously, our parents here to be doing that very thing. But you see it on an individual basis. Moses, basically passing the baton of faith to Joshua. You see it with Ruth and Naomi. Naomi, this believer in Yahweh, who takes this daughter-in-law of hers, this Moabitess, who doesn't know God, and introduces her to faith. And from Naomi to Ruth, Ruth is now incorporated into the community of faith in Israel. You see it on individual basis and you see it corporately. You see the exiles returning back from Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem. And there are people there like Ezra and the scribes who are saying, hey, here's what we need to be doing. Here's how we got in trouble with God in the first place. And the next generation is hearing this and being prepared to be faithful to God. You see it with Paul and Timothy. And one of the places you see it in the Old Testament is between Elijah and Elisha. You know, in 1 Kings, Elijah has this great contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Whew! Great day of victory. God demonstrates His power with no uncertain results. But you know, the death threat from Jezebel comes to Elijah and he's afraid for his life. And so he runs for his life. He runs all the way down to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, and there he encounters God. And God commissions him to do several things. But one of the things that God commissions Elijah to do is this: anoint Elisha to be the prophet in your place. And in the verses that follow, that's exactly what he does. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? And he returned from following him, and he took the yoke of oxen, and he sacrificed them. And he boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is a great text for what we're talking about today on an individual basis. So the application is much broader than on an individual basis. In the story, you have Elijah. Elijah's the aged prophet. Elijah's a man of God. And in this context, Elijah is a man worth following. Elijah is a man worth learning from in terms of being a prophet of Yahweh. And that's the role that he has in this story. He is devoted to the Lord, and he understands why it's so important for him to do this. God needs a witness in Israel. God needs a prophet when Elijah is no longer there. And so Elijah understands this, and he carries out what it is that God calls him to do. Isn't that true for all of us? I know we're all getting older. Some of us are a little further down the line in getting older. We need someone to step up into the shoes that we're going to be leaving behind. That's the way it always is in the kingdom. We need others always to be coming in and stepping up as those of us who are older are moving closer to be with the Lord. He challenges Elisha very directly. He doesn't hint. He throws his cloak over his shoulders. That's a way of saying, you've just received the call of the prophet of God and the call of God himself. And I think there's a lesson for a lot of us in calling people and being pretty straightforward with encouraging people to take their place serving side by side in the kingdom. Elisha seems a bit shocked. I mean, this guy just shows up while he's plowing and throws his coat over him, and it's like, whoa, he knows something's going on. And there's just the slightest of hesitations here. And I think it's just Elisha kind of trying to process this. Maybe some of you, I can remember looking back at when I'm 16, 17, 20, 25. I can think back at times when I was younger and being asked at church to do things. And I was just thinking, there's no way I can do that. And at first, on many occasions, I said no. And then I kind of processed it, you know, and I kind of thought about it, and I thought, well, of course you got to say yes. I mean, of course you've got to accept responsibility. I was just, it doesn't take Elisha very long. He's ready to go, but it's like, can I just say goodbye to my mom and dad? And then Elijah does this curious thing. He says, what have I done? What have I done to you? Go back. And I think it's Elijah's way of saying, look, I've obviously put my cloak on your shoulders, but you've got to decide if you hear the call of God in your life. You've got to be willing to make a commitment to the voice of God over you. And Elisha is certainly willing to do that. But he knows his life can't stay the same anymore. He can't be a farmer and follow Elijah and become the prophet of God when Elijah's gone. That can't happen. He's going to have to make some changes in his life. And for him, it's a pretty obvious thing he does than he needs to do. And he takes his oxen and he slaughters them and he takes the wood from the yoke and he builds a fire and they cook the meat. And the family shows up, and the people around show up, and everybody eats. And this is a public declaration by Elisha that he is saying yes to the call of God and that there's no going back to what he once was. Sometimes, and not sometimes, every time when God calls you in any way in your life, you are going to have to make, and I'm going to have to make some decisions about saying no to some things so I can say yes to God. And life will change, and certain things will be set aside because we're saying yes to the call of God on our life. And Elisha goes on, and he serves. And in that relationship, if we could read on through the text, we'd find them working together. We see Elijah, and it's not just that he's there and he's teaching. Elijah, as the older generation, is willing to invest his life in the younger generation. That's so important for those of us who are older. We have got to be willing to invest our lives and our time in other people to be a part of their maturing process and coming to faith and being equipped to serve. And then do what Elijah also will be prepared to do, is to let go and let Elisha be the prophet God has called Elisha to be. What a great story in the scripture of the faith being passed from one generation to another. And as a church, that's what we have got to be devoted to. Passing along, first of all, devoted to the mission, making disciples, baptizing and teaching. And then secondly, making sure that this mission is present in all of us and is in the process of being passed along to the coming generations. This has got to be a pervasive theme in this congregation. And it starts with leaders. It starts with leadership. It starts with elders, first of all. Elders who see as part of their role the the passing along of the faith and training and equipping. We think of Ephesians chapter 4 and the work of leaders in the church to equip and to train so that other members of the body can take their place and serve. This is something for deacons especially to hear. For every ministry leader, male and female, who are working in ministries, to be thinking about what can you do to encourage, to invite, to involve, to train, to work alongside, to turn over to those that are coming up in age, at least, behind us. It's one of the exciting things we get to do in the church. And it's exciting while you're doing it. It's exciting when you're working together and when those generations come together. So those of us today who are older, let's appreciate those that are younger. Let us love them and encourage them. And where we have opportunity to model the faith, where we have individual opportunities with people that we may know or be close to mentor, to help, to try to teach when appropriate, and to call them into service and ministry. And those who are younger among us, do you hear the call of God on your life? Do you feel that cloak around your shoulders? Do you hear the church saying, we need you, we're counting on you, it's your time, it's time to step up, it's time to put those gifts to work, and for you to say, yes, I'm here, I'm ready, I want to be used, I want to be a part of this process of passing the gospel on to others. And before you know it, those of you who are younger, before you know it, you're going to be on the other end of this thing. And you're going to be handing the baton to those that are coming up behind you. It happens quick. It happens. And for all of you Elishas out there, let me just say, some of us Elijahs do plan to stay around a while. So that, just so you know that. But it's this working together. It's this partnership in the gospel and seeing the value of the old and the young and working together in the kingdom. If you've never answered the call of God, if you've never come to Him through Jesus Christ, we invite you to answer the gospel call, to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and to begin your life in Jesus Christ today. Or if you're like been teetering on the edge and you know it's time for you to take a stand, it's time for you, you felt the call of God on your life for particular ways in ministry or to get involved or to do service, but you've been holding back, then let today be the day when you have the fellowship meal, when you say, Lord, here it is, I'm ready to get started. And let the church know, perhaps, if that's appropriate, that you want to be more involved. If you're struggling with that, if there's any way in which you, in your service to the Lord, find yourself in need of His strength or the encouragement of the church or the accountability that you can find in your family, we invite you to come to the Lord. If there's any who need to, come now. Let's stand and sing.